We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Caregiver Dave Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program Caregiver Dave Nassani. Dave, how are you? What's going on?
I'm awesome here in sunny California in November, where you guys are probably freezing.
Yes, definitely freezing. It's cold. I don't want it to be cold anymore. And, you know, it is what it is. And we deal with it. And our guest today, I know you're going to like this, Dave. And especially, I think you're going to like the topic, especially because you've done marriage counseling yourself in your career. And the title of this book is so catchy. But Danny's been on different shows from Huckabee. He's soon going to be on Penn & Teller. Go ahead and introduce him.
I don't know where you find these great guests, Neil. All good for you. Danny Ray, best known as a world-renowned illusionist, performs mind-blowing trips with life-changing messages. That was tricks, by the way. Now he's pulling back the curtain to show how a great marriage is releasing the book, Can't Make Your Wife... No, I can't make your wife disappear. Thought I was going to say my wife. Welcome to the show, Danny.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it. Thanks. Nice to see both of you. Not in person, but, you know, via
Zoom. What is it? It's a Zoom. It's where we are together. That's what when the pandemic started, I decided I was just doing radio only and never would put my camera on, except when I go to, I did TV studio, because I have a TV studio, and I would just send it as radio and then be slides. Well, that didn't work. And then I said, you know what? It's time for me to get into this game. And you get to really develop connections, not just being on a radio interview where you just hear their voice, but everything. So Danny, tell us specifically how this started as an illusionist, because it didn't start there, did it at all, right? How did that develop the story?
Yeah, so I started doing illusions when I was 10 years old. At 15, started doing it in a restaurant that led to, you know, local shows around Southern California. And then at 17, started to follow Christ. At 18, had an opportunity to go around the world with a world-renowned magician, and he wanted to take me to Vegas, New York, Europe. And I prayed about it, felt like God was telling me no, told him no, and then ended up getting involved in youth ministry. That led to like a decade of, you know, doing a lot of counseling with youth, but that also led to doing counseling with parents. And then at 28 years old, I was at the gym on a stair mat. We'll just say a machine, on a machine. And I was on that machine and I was reading this article of this magician that I met 10 years prior, and he was up for all these fraudulent charges for taking college students around the world, racking up their visas, and then left them stranded.
Wow.
And so it was one of those like eye-opening moments of like waiting for God's timing. And so in 2003, that's when we launched this ministry of combining, you know, God's transforming message with captivating illusions. And then, yeah, what other questions do you have? I'll leave it at that for now.
Wow. It is so rare to find a magician who is not ashamed of the gospel. Good for you.
Thank you. That is, for me, what it's about is to be able to glorify God in whatever I do. And with the sleight of hand, it took a while. I was reading Romans 11:29. When I was 28, they were in two different worlds. Do the magic over here, show the gospel over here. But I read Romans 11:29. It says God's gifts and his calling are irrevocable. And it was the first time I saw that these are in separate worlds and they need to be inextricable from one another so that I could live out the purposes that God's designed for me.
Oh, that's great.
Good for you. Sounds like he's guiding you and directing you, and he's opening doors and you're walking through them.
I am thankful for the doors he's opening. Yeah, my wife and I just celebrated 25 years. And as a part of that journey, we wanted to give back to the community. We started going to, you know, marriage counseling and marriage seminars and marriage conferences, you know, in our engagement and in our marriage. And we've had a lot of tips and advice and ideas that people have given us to help us out. And so we wanted to put a book together that would parallel the different magic concepts and the different biblical concepts and see where those intersect, and then put together a book that would encourage and empower people to just really have a thriving marriage.
Awesome. And Danny, before we get to the book, I wanted to go more into, I loved your Huckabee segment. It was funny with the presidents and leaders and all that stuff. And then everyone needs to watch it, because it's funny, especially how Governor Huckabee kind of really reacted differently at the end of that, which was funny. But how do you kind of put your illusion and comedy. I think it's a mixture. You're an illusionist with comedy, right? And gospel all mixed together. So when someone goes to see you perform, what should they expect?
So I'm trying to create like the best, most magical, funny, interesting experience that I possibly can give. And then I want to intertwine God's word into that in a way that isn't cheesy. Like in 2003, and this isn't to put any other magicians or comedians down, but the few shows I saw it was a really funny show, like for the comedians. And then at the end, it would be like, oh yeah, and by the way, I'm a Christian. And it felt like an appendage to the show. And I saw a couple of magicians do that as well. And when I read that verse I told you about in Romans 11, 29, I felt like they needed to be integrated. And so my first idea to integrate it was to force a card on somebody. And in the middle of the show, you know, they reach in, they take a card. It just happens to be the King of Hearts, right? And so I go, oh, wait, you took the King of Hearts, but I act like it's kind of off the cuff. Like, oh, I need to stop, because anytime somebody takes the King of Hearts, I have to tell them about the King of Hearts. You know, Jesus, he's the true king. And so then wow. That would lead me into a message about Jesus and how he came down. You know, so at this whole piece, I still do it every once in a while, but it was like my first like piece of going, this is integrating it into the show instead of making it something that feels like, oh, now he's going to share the message. So yeah, there's a couple different ways that I share that way.
Wow. Are we ready to talk about your book?
Yes. Let's go to the book. So
why did you write it? What do you hope to accomplish by it? And it's out right now.
It is out right now. It came out yesterday.
Wow.
So, November 6th. So yeah, really, really thankful for that. Yeah. So why did I write it? Is to give back. I really, we've been investing in a lot of marriages. As a pastor, you end up counseling a lot of married couples. And so we've had a lot of people over to the house over the years and really tried to, you know, help them to live out the things that God's designed for their marriage. And so when about 2 years ago, we started to talk about what would it look like to put out a book for our 25th anniversary, kind of as a mile marker. And so my whole like office was destroyed with like paper everywhere and sticky notes and ideas and stories and biblical principles and things that we've learned. And then we started to put those into the chapters and put it all together. Yeah. So it's wow. been a crazy journey, but really, really want to invest in couples. And I just think it's the heartbeat of our culture and society. Is the foundation is marriage. And we've got far away from that, but the more strong marriages we have in our communities, that impacts our families, impacts schools, impacts politics, impacts everything. And so I just go, we need to invest strongly in marriage.
Wow. So, what a breath of fresh air, because when we hear the media, I mean, we're hearing just the opposite. And yes. So good for you.
See, and Dave, I wouldn't say the media. The media, we choose to create the media. This is the thing that people have to understand. You can go to specifically the high-end, big-level media, or you can choose to consume any type of media. And that's the opportunity. There's an audience for everyone. I've been told that many times. So, Danny, let's kind of go right into specifically. Now, I think what makes books successful, anything successful, is the title. And the title absolutely is phenomenal. It makes you think right off the bat, and it relates to your career, and it also relates to what the message you want. How did you come up with it? Is it you, Danny, or did somebody else? Because it's a phenomenal title.
Yeah, I did come up with the title. It's the question I get asked the most at the back table. You know, people think they're being clever. They're like, hey, can you make my wife disappear? You know, and so from hearing that so much, and we were thinking about this book, it just kind of came together as, no, I can't make your wife disappear. And we, you know, people were like, well, you know, then do people think it's just a book for husbands? And, you know, what if you did spouse? What if you did friend? I was like, it just doesn't have that punch. And honestly, like, it's not funny, you know, because nobody says, can you make my friend disappear, spouse disappear? It's always the husband's trying to say, hey, can you make my wife disappear? But it is a book for couples and for, you know, for a marriage. Yeah.
Cool. Great gift idea.
Definitely. And that's one thing. But I think it's the also, Danny, you said it's giving back. You know, for your success as an illusionist and as a pastor for your years, you said this is something I want to give back, because some people write books for reasons. It's your is really that give back, right? To say, hey, I had a great marriage 25 years so far, and I want people to know what it makes to take a good to have a great marriage, right?
Yeah, I think it, you know, as we started to approach the 25 year mark, you start to go, well, A, I have something to say. And B, what is it about our marriage that we genuinely like love being together? We love, you know, dating each other. We love getting to know each other. We love doing stuff together. We love, for years, we ran, you know, the business and ministry together. So there, what is it that other couples, you know, that would meet with us, it just didn't seem to have that connection. And we were kind of in search ourselves of like, what did we do differently? And so I think there's several things that we try to lay out in the book that we did differently to create a healthy marriage, that we saw the parallels of other people that are doing that as well, that have healthy and great marriages. So, and it's not that our marriage is perfect. It's a marriage. 25 years, you know, there's ups, there's downs, there's struggle, there's pain, there's suffering, there's loss, there's all those things. But what is it that has helped us to push through and stay on the same page? And those are the things that we were trying to like lay out and look at in the book.
Wow. You know, I've been together 47 years with my wife, and yes, our 25th was a great one. What's your secret? I mean, what is your success rate? I know you're dealing with two individuals with their own free wills. Are you saving more marriages than you're not?
You know, that's a funny question that I think nobody ever asked, but I like it, because we do feel like we have our wall of shame, you know, where it's like, oh, you know, and it genuinely like breaks our heart when we see couples that either, I've done the ceremony for their wedding, and you know, they've gone separate ways, and it just breaks your heart. You want to see people last, and you want to, you know, pour into them and see them thrive and just love being together. And there's times, here's the conclusion we've come to that way, is it the responsibility doesn't lie on us, but I will say it is heartbreaking on our end, and we don't have 100% success by any means. I don't know what the number would be. There are more successes than failures. I know that, right. But yeah. And even the ones that don't go through a divorce, they stay together, but it's there's not like a deep love for each other in that marriage. It's like, well, you know, as Christians, we can't go separate ways, so we should just stay together. Like it is just weird and not like based on like love and desire for one another. And so, so we keep pouring into those marriages and encouraging and trying to help them to live remarkably and all those things. So
I'm assuming you and your wife were Christians when you got married, or did that happen later?
Yeah, I became a Christian at 17 years old. I met her the next year. She was 17. I was 18.
Wow.
In college. And then we got engaged December 30th, 1991, 4:30. We were engaged for 2.5 years. Don't necessarily recommend that. That was 3, but it really needs to be like this, you know? but it was, we did 2 aisles. We graduated 1 weekend. The next weekend, we got married. 2 weeks after that, we moved to Colorado Springs to start my master's in divinity at Fuller Theological Seminary. And so,
oh, right here,
that was...
So what makes a great marriage, Danny? When you look at specifically enough trying to consult couples, and then sometimes those marriages don't work out, because especially when you say there's not love, but what makes a great marriage so that people are going through counseling can understand what do they need if they can keep that going? What are the things that are needed?
Yeah, there's a lot to that. One of the things that we've seen in every marriage that we've worked with is when you learn to have the ability to forgive genuinely forgive and move forward from whatever the offense was, and then be able to be gracious. Like, I can't pull out of my driveway without my wife being like, hey, watch out for the fire. You know, I'm like, babe, I've been out of it. You know, like, but that's marriage, right? Is there's tension sometimes there, but I have to learn to give her grace and not just be frustrated with her and angry. And then it just starts us down a bad path as I go, okay, this is part of, like, she's working on, you know, like, not saying anything, but at the same time, she will say something or she'll grab the handle. I'm like, we haven't left the driveway, right? So there needs to be forgiveness and grace and not just like, this is what you always do. So one of the sections we talked about, you know, always and never statements and removing those from your language. And so yeah, to answer your question, I would say forgiveness and grace. I don't think it's any one secret, like, oh, here's the one secret, but that's a huge one. Another one is going to bed on the same page, like every day, just being on the same page. And so not letting the sun set on your anger is we really work hard on dealing with everything every single day and not putting stuff off till tomorrow where it could fester and turn into bitterness.
Wow. That's awesome. So you've got 25 years marriage. Your career, I'm interested in your career. What did you do for money in the early years? Were you a magician? Did you have another job? When did being a magician, was it a hobby? Was it your source?
Yeah, so it was a hobby for a number of years, and I would get gigs here and there, but our source of income was being a youth pastor early on. That was, you know, how we provided for the family. And then in 2003, we were praying through what would it look like to combine the message and the magic and really bring those two together. And so in 2003, I went down to 30 hours in January, then 20 hours in March, and, you know, down to 10 hours to the point I went to the pastor and went, you know, 10 hours is basically like showing up on a Sunday morning. And he was like, your presence is important. In June of 2003, we launched the ministry with Count 'Em. Zero gigs, you know, but we were reaching out to different people and connecting with people. And we had an opportunity with National Youth Workers to do their convention. At that time, there was about 15,000 people that would go to the convention in three different cities. And they said, hey, you could do I met with their staff. They said I could do a late night option. At that time, the late night option, there were 30 or 40 late night options from bands, comedians, speakers, technology stuff, just a ton of things. And so we packed out the room in all three cities. And by the end of November, people started just booking kind of nonstop. By December, we paid our bills for the first time. And by God's grace, we've been afloat ever since, but it's been a roller coaster. It's never just been, now it's just straight up and there's no looking back and there's no down moments. Obviously, the pandemic was a major hit for us in March of 2020, probably 50 events canceled. And by, you know, the end of April, we had, I did a 172 shows in 2019. And so in 2020, we had 100 cancel. And so by God's grace, we had learned to save and we had all kinds of different methods to kind of stay afloat, but it was a rough year to say the least.
For everybody.
But it gave us the ability to finish this book. We were able to put a lot of time and energy into writing and into pivoting and trying to create other sources of income. And yeah, so that this was one.
And the big things are happening you can't bring up, Danny, but one that you can bring up is, and we'll be airing the show next week, but you're going to be on Penn and Teller on December 3rd. How cool is that? And especially as an illusionist, you got to love those guys, right? And to be able to be in their presence and to be interviewed by them is amazing, right?
Yeah, it was. So for years, people like, you should do Penn and Teller. You should do, you know, America's Got Talent. And by God's grace, we're just really busy. And we're just like, we don't want to look left and right and go try to do something else. We want to stay on course. And during the pandemic, it was like, well, what else are we doing? So February 27th of this year, I auditioned, sent in a tape, or, you know, a tape, you know, a YouTube video, and, you know, unlisted, and they watched it. And apparently they liked it because they wrote back and said, hey, we want to work with you on a script. And so we worked with, you know, I worked with them on a script. And then in April, they said, all right, we'll see you in Vegas. And then it was really like diving deep into a piece that I've done 1,000 times and rehearsing it with a new script and working with the producers and the writers to really bring that thing to what you'll see on December 3rd. But it was like literally 10 hours a day where I'm setting my phone to a 25-minute clock. And every minute I'd work on the same thing, you know, it'd come around to the minute, work on the same thing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times until even though it was perfected, it was like, I need to work on it again so that it's flawless and I don't have to think about it at all. Because it went from one layer of deception, the way I used to do this piece, to trying to fool two of the, you know, greatest magicians alive that are very knowledgeable. And so I created 8 layers of deception to really try to fool them. So, yeah.
You know, I'm curious, with the way the world is these days, were you ever discouraged or had to decide, you know, maybe the Christian thing wasn't going to work, or too many people were saying no? Did that ever happen?
So 2008, we started a branch of our ministry called Run Your Race. And it was going to be for like the corporate section. And so I wrote an ebook that had 52 chapters in it about business principles. And we did videos and we put together a website. We, you know, we spent about $15,000 really trying to launch this. And literally, and by that summer, we went down to 0 gigs. No, there were 2 gigs in September. And I was at the penultimate gig and we had no shows coming up. I was just like, God, what's going on? Is this it? Are we done? And at that time, I was running Run Your Race, this corporate side, trying to get that off the ground. I was doing community groups at my church, you know, getting that off the ground. I was writing a devotional every day for 3 years. I was doing our normal ministry stuff, and there was probably something else out there. But I was running Captivators, which was helping book other magicians and illusionists and kind of variety acts. So we have these 5 things, and God, at this show I was doing, he was like, do you want to do all of this or do you want to do this? And we saw a great response to the gospel that night. And I was just like, God, I love doing this. And so literally my wife and I, we got on our knees that next day when I flew home and we prayed, God, would you please open up the doors for, and we prayed for like a ridiculous amount of shows. I think it was 12 shows by the end of October, which was 6 weeks. So we've never booked that many in that short of a time. And we ended up doing 20 shows and wow. God just kind of opened up the floodgates. We ended up canceling other stuff, closing down other ministries, and just went, this is the one thing that we're going to do and do it to the best of our ability.
That's fantastic. So Dave's last questions involve in caregiving, and I'm sure that you're going to be interested in this, Danny, what he does. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, like I said, I've been married 47 years, but 25 of those years was a normal, wonderful relationship. We were entering the empty nest phase of life, and she complains about this headache she'd been having for 4 days. Well, it turned into a stroke. She lost her speech, became paralyzed on one side, and we entered into a 2-year grief period. We almost broke up, but we hung in there, and she eventually became her old self again, wasn't quite as angry, and she reinvented herself, and now she's this amazing person who does almost everything she did before. She's a cross between Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. And she makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers. And so I became Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, help caregivers, you know, not make the same mistakes I did. 30% of them die before their loved ones do. So I travel the country, been on 50 TV shows, just helping people to stay alive. My question to you is, I believe that if you're not a caregiver yet, just wait, you're either going to become one or need one. Has caregiving touched your life yet?
So I love your story, Dave. Wow, that is amazing. Yeah, and I think like when I look at caregiving, I think of like we're like I think you're talking. Let me ask you what you mean by caregiving.
Caring for an elderly person, like your parents, they're getting older. Maybe they're coming down with dementia or Parkinson's. They can't stay alone anymore. Now you've got to get involved, either put them in a facility or get a caregiver to live with them so that they can help dress, help eat, help with toiletries, et cetera.
We're not on that side of things with either of our parents. My mother-in-law has rheumatoid arthritis, and over the last decade, it's continued to get worse, you know, where it's affecting her hands and her really just daily health. She's just not able to go at the rate she used to be able to go. So like as a family, we always have to look at, you know, putting that into the equation, maybe even putting rest into the equation during the day where she used to just be able to go all day. It's like, let's go back to a hotel. Let's, you know, make sure mom gets rest. And then we'll, you know, go back out and, you know, go again. We went to Hawaii a couple of years ago with the whole family. And it was one of those things where we were aware of just
her limitations,
but she still has a joy about her and still has a spunk to her and still wants to do those things. But we just need to make sure she gets rest so that she can. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, that's again, go to caregiverdave.com to find out that information, Danny. And it's what's great, he's doing caregiving. But I think you're right, caregiving. It's with kids too, especially during the pandemic. Anyone that was with their kids the entire time, that's caregiving. Any person that's helping and serving some sort of way, their whole being is caregiving. And caregiving is just not thought about as much. And so that's why Dave does it. And that's his mission. Now, Danny, where can we purchase the book? Because it's available now. And check out, I want to check out your interview again with Huckabee. I think Dave needs to check it out as well. And yeah. Then when Penn and Teller comes out, I'm sure you're going to have a link to that as well. But where can we connect with you? Where's the best place?
Yeah, if you go to DannyRayMagic.com, you could get the book there. You could get it at local bookstores. You could get it on Amazon, ChristianBook.com. There's a number of places you could pick it up, wherever books are sold.
Awesome. And Danny, a big announcement. You can't announce yet, but you have to come back on the Neil Haley Show to announce it, okay, when you have that.
All right. That's fantastic.
I want it for sure. Okay, best of luck. And I think it's just a great thing. And everyone needs to check him out because I'm telling you, he's funny, he's interesting, and he brings a humor that's needed in this world, especially in a tough, difficult time. So thanks again, Danny, for stopping by, and take care, Dave. And we'll see you guys. That was the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. Take care, guys.